Are you a cooked master? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy, here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. Are you a cooked master? In writing to my friends in Switzerland recently, they held a meeting of their Illuminati group, and in the meeting they discussed war, and whether war was a negative or a positive experience in the life of beings. And I wrote back to them quite definitely that no word is good or bad. Every word is an expression of whatever it is that we have in our consciousness. Every word is an expression of what we believe. Now, I can say, war, and wrinkle my nose up and feel very disgusted with it, and then I'm judging, and I'm saying that war is bad. And I say, war? Well, that's just a word. But to look it up in the dictionary, you come up with some interesting concepts for it, and it has the meaning of being something that is not beneficial. And if we look at something that's not beneficial, and we empower it with our thought, and we empower it with our attitudes, and we say, well, I'm just thinking about it because, you know, I'm living in a master consciousness, and I'm aware of everything that goes on in my world. I'm aware of all of the unhappiness in my world and all the happiness, and I'm aware of everything. I'm just really alert to everything. And then we say, oh, you are a master aware of everything? I would say a master consciousness may be aware of everything, but it is not aware of judgment. It is not aware of whether anything is right or wrong. It just is aware that something exists. And because it exists, it does not make it right or wrong, good or bad. It just exists. Now, a cooked master, as we had used the term in some of our seminars, a cooked master is a master who has been through all this sort of thing. He's been through all the ups and downs of attitudes and desires and trying to change the world and change himself and change all the things. And he arrives at a point where he realizes there's nothing to change. Everything is and is, and everything exists, and there's not one thing that we can do to change anything in the world, because all is. Nothing. There's nothing we can do to change anything. All is. Now, if there's nothing we can do to change anything, then what is the benefit of anything? What about good things or bad things? Well, there are no good things and there are no bad things. It's only when we judge them. We say there is a typhoon, and we say the typhoon went off on over the sea and didn't disturb anything or anybody, and we didn't call that bad. We just called it a typhoon. But when the typhoon happens to go over land and destroy property and damage homes and hurt people and sometimes even kill people, we call that bad. We call that evil. Yet that same typhoon going off over the ocean and not disturbing anything consequential to our thinking, we don't call that bad. We don't call it good. We just call it a typhoon. Now, when we have the capacity as a cooked master, not a would-be master, but as a cooked master, knowing that we don't judge anything, we don't say anything is good or bad, we merely acknowledge that it exists. And what happens when we just acknowledge that things exist without judgment, then we have a whole different attitude in our mind and in our body and in our affairs. We have a whole different attitude about everything that we experience. We have a whole different attitude about life, about the existence on Earth, about volcanoes, earthquakes, tectonic plates moving around, the lovely breeze, the lovely wind, the lovely rain that falls gently. Sometimes we say it falls too much, and then it drowns people and washes out homes and does things. Well, as we learn to live as the master of everything in our world, we will create everything as a benefit. We will create everything in gentleness. We'll create everything in harmony. Oh my goodness. We can create everything in harmony, harmonious. Yes, we can. We can create everything harmonious. We can say that the hurricane that is coming toward the Florida coast is just a hurricane, and that I surround that hurricane with my pure white light of love, and I see it moving along harmoniously and doing whatever it does, but it is all in perfect harmony. Now, to be all in perfect harmony means that it would not hurt anyone. It would not destroy property. It would not upset the normal routine of things. Oh, you say, well, it'll ruffle up the ocean and it'll do these things. Well, why even think of it as doing that? You see, all of life is for us. All of life we have created. All of the things in life we have created. And a would-be master takes them as he finds them from other creation, other people creating them, such as a bad hurricane or a bad volcano or a bad rainstorm or a bad anything, a drought, you know. I mean, you can go the gambit from the top to the bottom, to the side to the front, and to the back and around, and you come up with the same experiences. It's just the labels we put on it. Now, you say, you mean that we have the power in our mind? Yes, thoughts are things. We have the power in our mind to think our thought and think harmony, think peace, think all in divine order with the hurricane or with the volcano or with a fire or with anything else that's going on. Sure. That's exactly correct. Some of the giant redwoods, their seeds will never burst forth until they are singed by fire. And unless they're singed by fire, they would never come forth. And the changing scenery, the changing activity of the face of the earth takes place because tectonic plates are moving around, changing the face of the earth, changing the landscape, you might say. And you say, well, man, that's unpredictable. That's not good. Well, it is predictable because it happens over a large span of years. And we are readily aware of how the movement is taking place, and we're readily aware of how the earth is moving and changing and causing earthquakes and things like that, because it is moving, and that's just another definition or evidence of it moving. But we have the ability to be a cook master, where we are satisfied, fulfilled, revealed in every wonderful way. And we take charge of every experience that comes to our attention. If rain comes to our attention, we bless the rain that it does its perfect job, moistening the ground, bringing the plants to life, giving all that wonderful, and then the excess rain going into the sea, or going into the lakes, or going into the reservoirs, doing whatever it does. It's like some of these Indians who would pray for rain. They had rainmakers. And the rainmaker prayed for rain, and they got rain. And they got rain. And they got rain. And the rain flooded them out. Now, if the rainmaker had been a cooked master, he would have said to the chief, "All right, sir, how many gallons do you want? How many acre-feet of water do you want to be spread across your land here? How many acre-feet of water do you want behind your dams and your reservoirs and all of these things?" And then the chief, who could be a chief in an office or a government building or a chief on a tribal ranch, reservation or whatever, he would say, "Well, haven't thought about it." "Well, sir, you think about it, And when you know what you want, you know what you can handle, then you talk to me and we'll bring that forth. Oh, that sounds great. And of course, the chief believes in the rainmaker. And that's why the rainmaker is effective. Because the chief puts the thought in motion and he says, the rainmaker will deliver rain to us. But the chief is also honorable. He makes an agreement with the rainmaker and agrees to pay him a certain sum, and he pays it. Remember the Pied Piper of Hamlet? The mayor agreed to pay the Pied Piper a sum if he would tootle out all of the mice from the city. Well, the Pied Piper did just that. And he came back, and he was ready to receive the sum of money that was agreed upon. But the mayor thought, oh, that's too easy. That's too easy. You know, it really wasn't that bad. And he reneged. And so the Pied Piper piped all the children from the community off into a mountain, and they disappeared forever. It's a story, but it's a story with principle. It's a story dealing with you and me, and what conditions do we put in motion, and do we stand behind it? And are we willing to pay the price that we have agreed upon for whatever condition it is? And the price you pay for, say, a lovely rain, is belief in it. The price you pay is expectation of exactly what you want, knowing what you want. The price you pay is whatever it is, whatever you're dealing with. And you see, we have to learn to do this. We have to learn, are we going to be cooked masters who know the rules of the game and play it? Or are we going to be would-be masters who would like to have it our way and are very unhappy when it's not our way, and we complain about conditions that are being put in a way that are not harmonious for us or the rest of the world. A cook master never has that problem. A CM absolutely knows exactly what causes to put in motion for what results that he would like to see happen. You and I are both cook masters, you can be sure. Sometimes we forget, but we are always cooked masters. So today, let's begin to live as a cooked master. Let's begin to act as a cooked master. And our student, Irene Merkleo in Switzerland, wrote about this recently as a cooked master and as a would-be master. And I thought, what delightful terms, what wonderful ways to say such an infinite truth. Thank you, Irene. And to all of you, you're a cooked master. Live that way. No judgment. Always recognizing the truth. Have a wonderful day. And know that I love you. I love you. I love you.